Good morning, family. If you're already in Mark 4, go ahead and stay there. If you're not, if you want to head that direction, that'd be great. 207 years ago this spring, about 1,500 men of the Volunteer Kentucky Militia headed north through Ohio to the area around Toledo. Near there, General William Henry Harrison was holed up with about 500 troops in what was called Fort Meigs, just outside of Toledo on the Maumee River. He was surrounded by about 3,500 British and Indian troops who'd laid siege, so these Kentucky militia were rushing to his aid. Now, among those men marching north was a 20-year-old by the name of Cornelius Hutton, my great-great-great-great grandfather. The volunteers were primarily paid in land rather than cash. They enlisted for 6 months and then were given what was called a bounty. Cornelius survived the War of 1812, and years later he claimed his land bounty in northwestern Indiana. Now, the farm is still in the family, chief crop being popcorn, but farming methods have certainly changed since Cornelius first got his land. Some of my cousins back in Indiana use computers and lasers and all kinds of tech to keep track of every single seed. I mean, that's thousands. And they are able to plant each individual seed at a precise depth that they want and a precise distance from each other. All kinds of monitoring equipment. I mean, that is very different from the level of farming 200 or even 2,000 years ago. I mean, you remember the story Jesus told about a farmer. It's repeated in Matthew and Luke and here in the Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter. He said, beginning in verse 3 of Mark 4, "Listen, a farmer went out to plant a crop, and he scattered seed." Now let me hit the pause button right there. In Jesus' day, the principal field crops in the land of Israel were wheat and barley. Now those aren't row crops. So once the farmer plowed up the ground, he started walking back and forth across his field, and either in a fold in his robe or in a satchel, he'd have his seed. He'd reach in, grab a handful, and just toss it to and fro. Now that's not very precise. That's not laser-guided technology. So it's obvious that this particular method of throwing seeds back and forth lacked a certain level of precision. So back to our story. We left the farmer reaching into his satchel, grabbing a handful of seed and throwing it around. As he scattered the seed, some seed fell upon the path, which the birds came and devoured. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where there wasn't much soil. That seed germinated quickly, since the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, it scorched the young plants, and they withered and died because they weren't well rooted. Jesus continued, "Still other seed landed among the thistles and other weeds. The thistles grew faster and choked out the crop so that no grain was produced. Yet other seed fell upon the good rich soil, and it produced a crop that yielded 30, 60, even 100 times what was planted." Now, this is a story that I know many of you have heard so many times, you can tell it in your sleep. You can listen to it in your sleep. Wake up! Now, Jesus told lots of these stories, right? They're called parables, and one short definition of a parable is it's a story with a gotcha in it. You get drawn in, you listen, and then all of a sudden, ooh! I don't know that I like that. Now, this is one of my favorite parables for the simple reason that it's one of the few, if not the only one, that Jesus actually explains. He tells you what everything means. And I like not having to figure out stuff for myself. That's why it's one of my favorites. Now, oddly, although this is a simple parable that comes with its own explanation, it's also one of the most misunderstood, misused parables, especially in those evangelism classes that we sometimes have, you know, where we get tips and tools about how to share Jesus with others. And I'm guilty of using this parable in that way as well as others. You see, in those evangelism classes, we Christians tend to read this parable as though we're the farmer. We're the ones going out to sow the seed. Except we aren't the farmer. In Matthew's account, Matthew 13, verse 37, it is Jesus who is the farmer. Nor are we Christians the seed. The seed is the Word of God, according to Luke 8, 11. So if we aren't the farmer and we aren't the seed, where are we in this little story? We're the dirt. This story is not about how we share the message of Christ with other people. At least not mostly. It's about how each and every one of us listens to and responds to the message ourselves. Every type of dirt in this story represents a different kind of listener. When we hear the story, each of us is supposed to ask ourselves, which type of listener am I? Which type of listener will I choose to be? You saw that in verse 3, Jesus began the story with the admonition to listen. And then he wrapped up the story with the same admonition. Anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9. So the story is all about deciding which kind of soil, which kind of listener we each will choose to be. For example, there is the packed, hardened surface of the path that the farmer used to get to his field. Some of his seed landed on that path, and for the birds, that was the dinner bell. So they flew down out of the nearby trees and gobbled up all that easily available seed. In Mark 4 and verse 15, Jesus compares the birds to Satan. The path represents those people who hear the message, but it just bounces off their hearts and their ears. The message doesn't sink in. It isn't given any chance whatsoever to take root. It just goes in one ear and out the other. Now, I'm going to hazard a guess that most of us here today aren't like sidewalks. If we were, we probably wouldn't be here in the first place. And those rare individuals who might be are here because the parental units dragged them. We know how that goes, right? So it's possible there's a few. I'm sure that there are many families that have experienced what my family has. And when I think about this, I think of my younger brother. I don't call him my little brother because he's bigger than me, but my younger brother. We were raised in the same household. My dad was a preacher. My brother never obeyed the gospel. Ever. Now, when we were younger, we used to, me and my older sister, we used to kind of kid about that. When we wanted to do something that would get us in trouble, we'd say, well, my brother, he can do it because he's not baptized yet, so, he'll get away with it and we won't. Except it's not really a joke, is it? To this day, he's just a couple years younger than I am. To this day, he doesn't believe in God. It's not that he's not a nice guy. He's a nice guy. Although, I sometimes call him Peter Pan because he refuses to grow up. Here he is in his early 50s and he'll be skateboarding through Santa Barbara in places that you're not supposed to skateboard. And here comes the police to give him a ticket. He'll dodge into a department store and hide behind the appliances at his age. Come on! Mostly I'm jealous of that part. But I can't skateboard. Not a bit. But we all have, I think, someone we know and care about who just has never responded to the message, right? Make sure that person isn't you. Other people aren't like that, though. When they first hear the message, they are all excited, they're overjoyed, they are on fire. But they don't stay that way. They don't hang on to and deepen their faith. Instead, as Jesus described in Mark 4, 16 and 17, when some serious trouble or persecution comes their way, they surrender their faith because their roots weren't deep enough to help them weather those tough times. Perhaps some tragedy occurred in their life that they can't get over. I've shared with you before when I was growing up in Yuma, Arizona, there was an older man in the congregation who experienced the horror of running over his toddler grandson and killing him. And that day, he quit believing. He didn't want to serve a God who would allow him to run over and kill his grandson. This trial came into his life. And he gave up his faith in the middle of it. Or perhaps persecution breaks out against Christians, as it has in China recently. And out of self-preservation, the believer will give up their faith. Those things happen. That's the kind of people Jesus is describing as the seed on the rocky soil. But as we contemplate that kind of earth, we need to be careful about being judgmental toward those people who quit under such pressures. Remember, Jesus didn't tell us in this story to try and peg what kind of listener someone else is. He is calling us to self-reflection. What kind of listener am I? Now, how do I know I won't crack under pressure? Be honest with you, I don't want to find out firsthand. When those people say, hey, bring it, come on, persecution, I'll show you. It's like, are you crazy? If half my church family is dead, and the other half is in a concentration camp, how sure am I that I wouldn't give up my faith under such circumstances? You see, we should not get cocky. People who think they're standing firmly should be careful they don't fall, says 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. A third type of listener hears the message. Perhaps it even takes root and begins to grow, but eventually it gets choked off and dies. Why? Jesus said they care more about the things of this life than about eternal life. They are seduced by wanting more money, more stuff, more of what this world has to offer, like recognition, status, and fame, according to Mark 4, 18 and 19. And this earthly focus chokes off Christ's message. When I was a teenager in Southern California, one of my friends, he wasn't part of the same town or same congregation I was, but we'd always see each other at the regional youth rallies and summer Bible camp and that kind of stuff. Knew him for years. We went to the same Christian college up in Portland, Oregon. I would have never thought. As the years progressed, though, and I don't know all the reasons, but it just so happened that as he climbed the academic ladder, as he sought to move on from that small Christian college in Portland to Ivy League schools on the East Coast and get degrees from prestigious universities, ending up with his PhD, his faith fell off along the way. Not too shocking, since Princeton and Drew don't teach that the Bible is the Word of God, that it's inspired of God, but a human product. And so it's not too popular to take conservative Christian views in that particular academic circle. But I don't know. But somewhere along the line, as he added all these things to his resume. He gave up his faith. Finally, we come to the last kind of hearer, what Jesus described as the good or prepared soil. These are people who hear the message of Christ, accept it, and bear fruit. Well, what does that mean, bear fruit? What is the fruit that a person who hears and accepts Christ's message produces? Now, I would definitely say that part of it would be a changed, transformed life. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit comes readily to mind. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I can't imagine someone accepting and living by the teachings of Christ not producing the fruit of the Spirit. This is kind of a non sequitur. They go together. But think for a moment. Is the fruit Christ is speaking of solely about living peaceably, being loving and kind and so on? Is bearing fruit only about our character, how we behave? Let me ask you, what's the point of planting seeds of wheat? Isn't it in order to get more wheat? And what is the point of burying the saving message of Jesus in the soil of our hearts? For no other reason than that I can be saved? For no other reason than that I can become a nicer, better person, good and gentle and all that? God's still working on me, by the way, so don't laugh that one off. I'm under construction here. Work with me. Or is the message of Christ not only to be listened to and accepted, but shared with others? You know, in referencing the conversion of the Christians in the city of Colossae, Paul spoke about the hope they have reserved in heaven. Then he went on to say, you have already heard about this hope in the Word of Truth, the Gospel that has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and came to truly appreciate God's grace. Colossians 1, 5 and 6. Wherever the message of Christ went, wherever the Gospel seed went, its positive reception produced a crop of Christians like it did at Colossae. As Jesus told His followers in the final words that He gave them before ascending into heaven after His resurrection, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. So while I think the fruit produced by the kind of listener represented by the good soil includes a Christ-like character, I also think it includes sharing the message of Jesus with others. So as we reflect on Jesus' story of the soil, the very first place we need to go in our thoughts is where Jesus told us to go. Reflect on which type of listener you are. Does the message of Jesus Christ pretty much sound to you like an adult in one of those old Charlie Brown cartoons? You know, womp, 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 womp. That's all you hear. It's going in one ear and out the other. It just makes no sense whatsoever. Is that the kind of listener you are? Or is your faith drying up under the heat of trial? Or is it being choked off by a greater love for the things of this life rather than for Christ? Are you one of those two kinds of listeners? Or are you being productive in your faith? Now, one final thought. I don't believe that Jesus teaches that the kind of soil I am now is static, set, unchangeable. There's no point to Jesus cautioning us to be good listeners if the type of dirt that I am was forever established in the heavens before I was born and no way to change it. As I listen to this story and reflect on my own life, I see that at different seasons in my life, I have been a different kind of listener. There were times in my life where the cares of this world really kind of choked off the life of Christ in me. There were times when trials came and I had my struggles. I think back about things I've seen over the years, just in nature, and comparing it to Jesus' story. Yeah, I've seen large trees growing out of cracks in abandoned parking lots. You ever seen that? So, that tells me that God can crack a hard heart to where the seed can get down in there and take root. Because right now in my life I'm kind of a sidewalk doesn't mean I always have to be and always will be. And through hard work, I've known farmers to turn rocky soil into productive soil by moving the rocks. You've seen all those rock walls around farms in New England and around farms in Ireland and in England. Well, where did those come from? They came from those beautiful paddocks they wall off. Those things were once just rocks all over the place, but just, okay, if I got this, get it out of the field and build a wall. And in so doing, the field becomes productive. Weeds can be pulled, making for fruitful growth. So through the power of God, whatever soil I am now, whatever kind of listener I am now, God can change my heart into the most productive type of soil for His message to grow in. And I hope knowing that God can take you and change you into productive soil if you aren't already, I hope knowing that can give you some encouragement. Will you join me as we stand and as we sing?
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see, He the great example and the pattern for thee. He leads us follow all the way. Well, He leads us follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is He. He the great example is and pattern for thee. Well, He leads our follow. Follow Jesus every day. Listen to His loving words, come unto me, weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in His promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior, and thy soul is secure. Where He leads the Father, follow all the way. Where He leads the Father, follow Jesus every day.